Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. Recently, I did two podcasts with Benny Hinn. He reached out to me. He felt he needed a neutral platform to kind of explain some of the attacks that he's been getting online. I was glad to interview him. I've known him over the years. I've written about him many times in Charisma Magazine, but I've also stayed kind of arm's length from him. My job is not to defend him, nor is it to pile on. If you didn't see those two interviews, you want to see them online. And by the way, if you don't subscribe to the Strang Report, you need to do that so that you get my podcast every Tuesday and Thursday when it comes out at 4 p.m. Today, I'm interviewing Greg Locke. You may know him because of his deliverance ministry in Nashville, Tennessee. And I've gotten to know him. And actually, he reached out to me also about a year ago and said that he had been very critical of Benny Hinn. In fact, he wrote a self-published book called Blinded by Benny. And he felt convicted that he needed to apologize to Benny. And he asked me if I could make that happen. And I was able to do it. And as we talk about in our podcast today, it was kind of off the record, but something very special happened. And I felt with everything going around the internet about Benny Hinn, it would be interesting to hear from a man who had a very negative attitude about Benny and changed his mind. And what happened? Why did he feel the way he did? Why did he change? And what is the Holy Spirit saying that we can learn from what's going on? You don't want to miss this episode of the Strang Report. Stay tuned. Pastor Locke, there's been a lot on social media about Benny Hinn lately, and you used to be very critical of him. In fact, if I remember correctly, you wrote a book attacking him, and I happen to know that you've changed your opinion, which we're going to talk about today. So tell me what it was that you had against Benny Hinn and what's happened since then.
I think then, 22 years ago and now, most of the problem is people just hear things or read headlines. They'll hear a clip. Of course, the internet wasn't nearly as big 22 years ago as it is now. And so I would just hear certain things. And I never reached out to him. I never tried to have a Matthew 18 meeting with him. Not that he even needed to take one biblically, but I just decided just to come out hot and just start writing about things I had heard. And maybe some of those things during that particular tenure of his ministry, maybe they were true, maybe they weren't. But when you and I got to know each other and Charisma, you know, signed us on for our books and things, I just began to see that a bridge needed to be built. The book needed to be burnt and a bridge needed to be built. And that's why I reached out to you and said, hey, do you think Pastor Benny would take a meeting with me? He didn't know me from Adam's house cat. He didn't have to take the meeting. And when we walked into that golf club that day and we sat down and we had that meal and we prayed together, I was struck immediately by his humility, number one, to have the meeting, but to listen to my heart. And then for him to tell me, you know what, I really, number one, I forgive you, but there's great sincerity and anointing in what you're saying. And then we just talked about the body of Christ, how it needs to come together. And so there are times that I think we have to be very bold and courageous and biblical, and we have to call out nonsense when it needs to be called out. But from watching the videos that you've already done with Pastor Benny and that people are still eviscerating and talking about and tweeting about and Facebooking about, he was very sincere. He was very humble. I think he could have come out, and I probably would have swinging a little bit more, but he didn't. He kind of took it on the chin, and he said, look, I made some mistakes. I said some things that I should not have said. I repent and I'm sorry. You know, I was reading the other day, even Peter looked at Simon the sorcerer. This guy was a full-blown witch doctor. And he said to Simon the sorcerer, repent of this therefore thy wickedness, if God will perhaps forgive the naughtiness of your heart. He said to a false prophet, I'm giving you a chance to repent. So regardless of how deep the falsity was, if you will, in Pastor Benny's ministry, the man's repented. And he said, look, I said some things I should not have said. You know, there are times that you, me, anybody that teaches, communicates, is going to eventually be guilty of false teaching. That does not make them a false teacher. I taught against tongues. I taught against the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I taught against men and women of God. I taught against women preachers, right? I taught against deliverance, and we got a movie about it and a book about it. I taught against all of that, not because I was a false teacher, but because I had some false teaching that because of the denominational lens through which I saw the Bible, I was corrupted, and God had to correct me. And God will correct us. And I've seen God correct Pastor Benny, and he's been willing to get up on camera when he didn't have to. He could have just done his own thing, right? He's Benny Hinn. He's got a large following. It doesn't really matter what people say at the end of the day, but I see a humility in him that perhaps his detractors, either they don't see it or they just don't want to see it. Because a lot of the people that are going to be extraordinarily, you know, critical of him are going to be extraordinarily critical of me for even trying to look like I'm defending him. But here's what we're doing. We're defending truth. We're defending humility. So we can do this entire interview beautifully and biblically without having to do two things. I don't have to be a cheerleader for Benny Hinn, nor do I have to inviscerate his critics. All we have to do is speak the facts. And the facts are, he admitted there's some things that he did and said that he should not have done and said, and he's repented. We either forgive or we don't. Matthew 18 says, when somebody comes to you seven times a day and offends you, God says, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them. So I think this entire issue is not really an issue about false doctrine, false prophets, and prosperity gospel. I think it's an issue either about forgiveness and growth and maturity. And a lot of the people that right now are his detractors, like me, are just going by what he said. That's what I did 22, 20 years ago. And when I got to know him, I'm like, wow, there's something different here. It's like CNN and me. We have this weird relationship. CNN's been to our church eight times, okay? CNN hates Greg Locke, and I get it. But you know what happens when they send camera crews here? They have a hard time not liking me because they're not watching a 45-second clip that has no context. They're sitting down and actually getting to know me. So I know that's a long way around the barn, but I want people to understand the reason we're doing this interview is not just so I can defend Pastor Benny, but I can defend my position that 22 years ago, I wouldn't have spit on him if he caught fire in our church parking lot. And today, we're good friends. I'm in Israel, you know, I'm taking a picture of the school that he went to, and he's like, oh, wow, man of God, I wish I could be there. You know, I miss my homeland and all of that. And what I have found in Benny Hinn is he is a kind man that wants to end better than he began. And it's not how you start, it's how you finish. I got a son at Jesus Image that loves the Sunday nights when Benny Hinn gets to the pulpit to preach. And we're not ignorant of the Bible at Global Vision. My son grew up around expository, word by word, verse by verse preaching, and was also a cessationist for a long time. And now when Benny Hinn comes to, you know, Orlando and he comes to Jesus Image, my son's like, hey, Dad, Pastor Benny's preaching tonight. And he preached on the authority of the Word of God. So these people are going to keep doing YouTube videos. They're going to keep writing articles. They're going to keep saying what they want to say because it gets them clicks and likes. And in the body of Christ, one of the most shameful things, and I'm going to volley back to you because you're the host, I'm just preaching. One of the most shameful things in the body of Christ is that influencers are more concerned about followers than actually following what the truth of the Word of God is. And the truth of the Word of God is there are going to be times that we disagree. And disagreement does not make us enemies. It makes us human. Everybody wants to talk about Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas, Acts 16. Do you know why Silas went with Paul? Because they were going to take John Mark. And the Bible says that Paul said, no, I'm not taking that little brat. He didn't do us very well. And here's what the King James Bible says. The dissension between them was so sharp that they had a parting of ways. And sometimes the dissension in the body of Christ gets sharp. We're not going to agree on everything. But when Paul was older and wiser and more mature and rotten in a prison cell, remember who he asked for? He asked for Mark. He said, send Mark to visit me before they behead me because he's profitable for the ministry. So here's what these detractors need to understand. The more we grow closer to Christ, the less we hate people that we don't understand. So whether you like Benny Hinn or not, okay, wisdom will be justified of her children. Let's give it a few years. And when we go to jail, let me tell you something. The last thing you're going to be worried about is doing videos against somebody that could help you and stand with you. There will come a day that all of these people doing these videos that hate on me, him, you, or whoever else, they are going to need us. When the whole thing goes down, it's going to be like a Paul and Mark. We're going to be needful for each other, so we better stop devouring each other. Sorry I went so long.
Well, that's well said. And, you know, I was there in this famous meeting. We kind of went as it was off the record. I've had occasion to do this several times over my lifetime. And whenever I can be a bridge builder, I want to be. Of course, it isn't confidential now. Sure. You and Benny did a podcast and were able to talk about this, because I think it's so interesting that you had one opinion of Benny and then you changed your mind. And I sort of saw that unfold. But did the Holy Spirit say anything to you as you were listening to Benny and kind of getting to know his heart and so forth? Or is it pretty much as you just described?
Well, it is, as I just described. I mean, it was a heartfelt sentiment for me, but the Holy Spirit definitely did a great download. And I mean, of course, you were there. You know, I wept at the table before him when I said, look, I want you to forgive me for something you didn't even know I did, right? I was like a blip on his radar. He had never seen
never
the book.
He'd never heard of Mark. Yeah, he hadn't heard of you or the book.
Yeah, and, I mean, he'd never heard of it. You know?
You're only one in a long list of critics over the years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if I were to now, at the level where the Lord's brought us, you know, with our platform and our church and the size of our ministry, if I were to stop for all the detractors, absolutely not. I got to be like Nehemiah. I'm not coming off the wall to fuss with you people. I'm just not. I got some building and some battling to do. And I think that's where he's at. But I do understand why he said, you know what? Let me lay some of this to bed. Let me lay some of this to rest. And the man shared his heart. And if they don't want to take that, then that's on them. But we're either going to offer grace and offer forgiveness, or we're just going to keep on and keep on and keep fighting and keep devouring. And it's just going to get worse and worse. And so things are thinning out in the body of Christ, and we don't have time to be fighting. We have got to come together. Denominational tags, all of that stuff's got to go the way, I call it the way of the dodo, right? It's got to go to the museum, because when everything falls apart, we're going to have to stand and fight together. But we're not going to be able to, because we've been standing apart fighting each other far too long. And, you know, I'm at a place now where I don't have time to fight you or anybody else. I'm fighting demons, right? I'm fighting principalities. We're fighting the wickedness of this buck wild culture. We're fighting all of these things that are happening. And yet you have people that, for clicks and shares and blue check marks, they want to fight brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm done with it. Now, look, there are times that our people know and people that watch me know, I get up and I'll get very enraged about something. And when somebody refuses to repent, if they're going to go down the road of witchcraft, if they're going to steal money, if they're going to be a fornicator, if they're going to just, you know, be loose with their morals, I'm going to call them out on it, right? But here's a man that said, here are the areas where I botched it, right? These are the areas God's convicted me about. I've changed direction. I've repented. I felt pressure. I heard him even say that. He said, I felt pressure. And so I just said things. Who hasn't felt pressure when the camera's on to say things? You know how many times I have stood up before our congregation and said, you know what? I could have crafted that a little differently. And so here's the problem with the body of Christ. It's not our position. It's our disposition, right? It's not the fact that we're wrong about what we're saying. We're right. But we have such a bad attitude, nobody wants to listen to us. So some of these guys are right. They're theologically right. I don't deny the fact that they want to be theologically savvy. They want to understand the gospel. But you can be a jerk for Jesus, and God's not going to bless that.
You know, you mentioned teaching through the Bible verse by verse, and I know that you do that. But I've heard Benny minister many times. I've seen things on YouTube where he really dives into the Word and has some very deep insights. He has in my observation of him over the years, and I've known him really since he got started, he has a lot of insight, but he's also a lightning rod. You know, a lot of the things he's criticized for, a lot of other ministries that aren't as well known could be criticized for that too, but somehow he's a lightning rod. So he seems to draw this. It's easier to attack one person like Benny than it is to attack everyone. And some of the attacks is what somebody who doesn't believe like you or I do, even secular people who don't believe in God, period, who just think this is all a lot of nonsense. Yep. Some of the criticisms could be leveled at that level. But I agree with you that Benny does seem sincere. He has repented. But there's also some people that are saying it's sort of not good enough. How do we judge if somebody's really repented or not?
Well, I mean, think about that in terms of the Lord. I mean, what if, you know, I repented from my past and the Lord said, you didn't use the right words. I don't just think you were sincere. No, the Bible says, he that cometh unto Jesus, he will in no wise cast him out. And so if God can forgive someone, why in the world can't the body of Christ? We want to keep drudging up people's past, drudging up their history. Everybody's got a past. Everybody's got a history. The only difference is their ministry hasn't been big enough for them to be eviscerated by the megaculture of the media yet, right? So when you're small, you can say stupid things and people will ignore you. But when you're big and you say stupid things, they will attack you, right? They will absolutely attack you. And so they've made it their job to become online prophets to basically just eviscerate people and just bring people down and break people down. And I do not see that. That is not one of the fivefold ministries. It's just not. Okay. An armchair theologian on Facebook is not one of the fivefold. It's just not there. So again, is there a time that we have to call out nonsense and falsehood? Absolutely. But there is also a way in which we are to do it. And when someone is brought to repentance, when they publicly repent, because you see, private sin deserves private confession. Public sin deserves public confession. When a man publicly repents, if the church still doesn't forgive him, they're not acting like the church. Even Paul said that to the Corinthians. What's wrong with you people? You're suing each other. You hate each other. You're fighting each other. He said, let me tell you what you don't want. You don't want me to put this pen down and show up in person. Because when I get there, Paul said, you are not going to like what I have to say. He was going to come turn over some tables because these Christians were biting and devouring each other. And he said, you got to stop. I'm of Paul. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Apollos. He said, quit that. And the body of Christ, the evangelical world, the charismatic world, we're the same way. I'm of Locke. I'm of Signorelli. I'm of Isaiah Saldivar. I'm of Benny Hinn. I'm of Rod Parsley. Stop. We are children of the Most High God, anointed and appointed by God. And we are called on the same battlefield to fight the same enemy. But we're so busy turning around shooting the people behind us and beside us, we can't enjoy the fact that we are in a last days battle. And these guys on YouTube, they're fighting the wrong battles. And look, I've been there. I've had to eviscerate myself. We took down every video on Facebook that I had ever made from 2020 backwards. Then people need to understand something, that that's not just small potatoes. That there were over a billion, with a B, not M, with a B, 1.2 billion views we completely erased from the internet on Facebook because I said, you know what? I said some things I shouldn't have said in ways that I shouldn't have said them. And I did away with it. And I got up for our church and I said, you know what? Let's make sure our position and our disposition is correct. Let's move forward in grace. So I don't know what these guys are going to do, but they can say what they want to. If my picture and Benny Hinn's picture is on the same flyer, they may freak out, but I'm not going to because he's my friend and I'm going to stand with my friends. I'm a loyalist, right? I'm a guy that when Greg Locke's your friend, he's going to be your friend to the end unless you decide to burn the absolute relationship to the ground, right? And he's my friend. And I'm on this podcast right now because I'm your friend. I'm Charisma's friend. I'm Pastor Benny's friend. I love him. I appreciate the fact that he forgave me. Why would I not return the favor? Why would I believe all this nonsense when I can pick up the phone and say, hey, Pastor Benny, let's chat. This looks a little weird. This looks, could you explain it? And you know what he'd do? He'd explain it. These guys don't want any accountability, but they want everybody else to have it.
Well, I appreciate your perspective. And the reason I reached out to you, Benny Hinn actually reached out to me. He felt he needed a sort of a neutral platform to speak to some of these issues, but I reached out to you because over the years, we've tried to help ordinary Christians put things into perspective. Because when you see things in the news or on social media, or you hear things through the grapevine, a lot of times you don't know what to believe or not believe, or sometimes some of it's true and some of it's not true. So I think it's important for people to understand what, I want to give you the last word to explain what you think the average Christian who's watching this, who's maybe follows your ministry, maybe they follow Benny Hinn's ministry, how can they learn something from all of this stuff that's going on online?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, number one, people are going to have to get their nose out of the newspaper and Twitter and put it in the Word of the Lord, right? I tell people, get off Facebook and put your face in the book. If you'd read the Bible, you'd be more merciful, you'd be more kind, you'd be more forgiving. There's a reason it's called the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the Christian, because it's not something natural we produce without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But here's the difference, okay? Here's the real difference. Everybody has stuff in their life that they don't want anybody to find out about. Somebody else just hadn't written a story about it yet, right? Somebody just hadn't found out yet. And I'm not saying this about Pastor Mike that did this particular video that went viral. I don't know him. I appreciate him. He's done some stuff, you know, that I followed. And so I don't eviscerate all these guys. I understand. I was there. I had to grow. When I became a man, I put away childish things. And I think some of these arguments are childish. But at the end of the day, I think people need to understand that the most critical people in the Bible of the ministry of Jesus or Paul or Peter, when somebody was real and sincere and living in a repentive state, the most critical people of them were the religious people that had hidden sin in their life that they themselves would not repent of. So I have a hard time when somebody just keeps on, they just drill people. They're always critical. They're always judgmental. I say, and this is my pastoral prophetic opinion, that there's something in their life that they're going to have to confess. You see, other people's repentance bothers them because they don't live in repentance themselves. And when somebody acts humble, it kind of bristles them up, if that makes sense. So I'm not saying across the board, broad stroking, that all these men are living in pornography and perversity, but 9 times out of 10, you show me the people in the Bible that hated Jesus and hated truth and hated the flow of the Spirit, and I'll show you the people that Jesus said, you draw near to me with your mouth, but your heart, oh, that's another issue. It's far from me. So anybody watching this, I want them to know, whether Stephen's saying it, whether Greg's saying it, Pastor Benny, it doesn't make any difference. At the end of the day, what does the Word of God say? And the Word of God says that we ought to love people, that we ought to forgive people, that we ought to be merciful to people. If he goes out tomorrow and he flies off the rails, that's not on Greg Locke. That's not on you. That's on him. Every bucket sits on its own bottom. But until he does, I'm going to be his friend and I'm going to stand with him. I don't care what the detractors say.
I appreciate Greg Locke being on my podcast. I believe that he's very articulate. I hope you learned something. My heart's cry is that the body of Christ can learn something. You know, ministers, whoever they are, whether it's me, whether it's Greg Locke, whether it's Benny Hinn, need to understand that we have to be accountable. We have to be accountable, first of all, to God, to our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, but also to some extent, we're accountable to the public to say what we mean and mean what we say. And I admire Benny Hinn for being man enough to say that he missed it somehow. He, as he said in the podcast, and as Greg and I talked about, he wants to finish strong, and each of us needs to want to finish strong. We need to stand before God and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thank you for tuning in. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe. With all the views that have come in on the last couple of podcasts, my subscriptions are really growing, and I appreciate you. Write comments. I enjoy reading the comments, and I want to know what you have to say, good, bad, or indifferent. Thank you for watching The Strang Report. Tune in again next time. God bless you.